Well, good morning, church. It is good to see y'all today. Hey, I got word right before I came in here, something that just kind of excited me. Lifehouse Church, that's a church that we've partnered with on several occasions there in the Magnolia area. But one thing that we had partnered with them on is as we had reached out to the orphanage in Acuna, Joel had connected some of that church with that ministry there. And today, they've got a group of 17 people that are down in Acuna, and they've asked if we would partner with them in prayer today for them as they're serving God. And that just gave me that just huge picture, right? That huge picture of not only what we do as a church when we go and when we help, but as we reach out to the rest of the body of Christ and other churches and connect them with ministry, God just does this beautiful thing of bringing the right people at the right time. So I just want to stop this morning and just take a second and pray for that team that's down in Acuna. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, you're good. God, that you've got your mind on those kids. Father, you got your mind on that church. God, that right now you're going to do things there that are going to physically help. But you're going to do some spiritual miracles this week in that church's life, at that orphanage. And God, I just want to thank you for the small part we have. God, I ask for just blessings on that group. God, I ask that they would just be able to share your love completely. God, they would see you do amazing things. And God, just as we think about the whole body of Christ, God, just help us never to be selfish as a church and just go, what can we do? But God, just continue to help us pray and lift up other churches. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are still in Acts. When last we left, we had just gone through Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 18. If you want to turn there, I'll catch you up real quick. We're on the second missionary journey of Paul. Paul and Barnabas had split ways, so Silas and Timothy and sometimes Luke had gone with Paul. They had gone through that same area they went through on the first missionary journey. But last week, the last 2 weeks, we saw them cross over into Europe. And we start meeting these churches that we read about, right? These letters that Paul wrote. We're meeting these churches for the first time. We saw him in Philippi. We saw him in Thessalonica. We ended last week with him in Athens, and we were just talking last week about how the gospel changes lives, and we kind of took a detour and just talked about how important it is for us to preach the gospel to ourselves, because if the gospel has the power to change lives in cities, it has the exact same power to change things in our lives, and sometimes we never just stop and preach the gospel to ourselves. Let me read right here at the end of 17 just to get us into it. In verse number 32, Paul's in Athens. It says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, it says some of them sneered. Others said, we want to hear more. Want to hear you again on this subject. Verse 33, at that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed, and among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, and also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. And so we see Paul leaving Athens right there. Now, we don't know why he left Athens. It could be because those people were sneering, and some of them were just saying, hey, we just want to hear more. We're not just really interested in what you're doing. Maybe he didn't see the Holy Spirit at work. Maybe he just felt God say, go. But in the first verse of 18, it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. So here's another church we have letters to, Corinthians, to Corinth. It says, there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So we meet Aquila and Priscilla. They're going to be big in Ephesus, that church. They became, because Claudius, that's why they left, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them, and every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So here we have that same picture again of Paul going into a city, kind of finding some God-fearing, God-followers in the city, and then going into the synagogue and preaching to his Jewish brothers at first. And so he's at the synagogue. It says, verse number 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, so they finally caught up with Paul. If y'all remember, he had left them in Thessalonica. When they finally caught up, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Now, Paul's getting mad, right? We're seeing him go from town to town to town, sharing the gospel, seeing the gospel do incredible things. And in every town, what kind of people are raising up against him? Jews. And they're getting mad at him, and sometimes they're stoning him, and sometimes, and Paul is just finally frustrated, and he just said, "Man, I'm just going to preach to the Gentiles." Watch what happens. This is so interesting. It says, then Paul left the synagogue and went next door. I don't know if that was Paul just being mean or what. I'm just going to go right over here where you can watch me, see what God's going to do. But he went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. And then this interesting verse number 8 says, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. So while Paul's preaching next door to the synagogue, I guess, you know, the leader of the synagogue said, I want to hear more about that. And he got saved. And it says, many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Now, so we have this picture once again, gospel being preached, lives being changed. But this next verse, next couple of verses, is what really caught me. And that's where I'm going to kind of stop and talk about for a little bit today. It says, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Now, I want to park there and talk about that verse. The first thing we see in that verse is God says, Paul, don't be afraid. Fear not. Now, this leads me to suspect that Paul was dealing with some fear. Usually, God doesn't tell you to stop doing something you're not doing, right? That's usually not God's style to say, you know, hey, stop doing that, and you kind of go, well, I'm not doing that. Well, I don't care. Stop doing it anyway. You know, that's not how God usually works. Usually, if God comes to you and says, stop being afraid, there's probably a reason that God was saying that to Paul. You know, just from looking at the situation, it seems like Paul is reacting to these Jews a lot. It seems like Paul is really getting anxious every time these Jews raise up against him. He's going from city to city to city as the Jews are chasing him out. And I think it was right for him. I think that was God's plan. I think he was in step with God going to these different cities. But sometimes, even when we're doing what God wants us to do, Satan starts twisting something inside us. You know, I'm following God to the next city, but inside me, part of the reason maybe that Paul was going to the next town was not only was God calling him, but he was a little bit afraid. Fear was starting to well up in Paul as he was going from town to town being chased by these Jews. On one hand, I love that. I love the fact that Paul battled fear, because that makes me feel better about me battling fear. To think this guy who, you know, was the key to starting God's church, that was, you know, running in and out of these towns, that was sharing the gospel, this guy, for some reason, feared. Sometimes I go, man, if I have fear, I must not be a very good Christian. If I battle this fear of doing things or saying something or worried about things going on in my life, man, I guess I need to get to church more. But here you have Paul, who was battling fear. You know, on one hand, I love that. On the other hand, you know, I'm just going, if Paul fears, what chance do I have? So I want to stop and look at fear for just a little while this morning. I want to look, because as I think about fear, and as we've been talking about being aligned with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit takes a step, we need to take a step. As the Holy Spirit takes the next step, we need to take the next step. As we talk about preaching the gospel to ourselves and being ready each morning for what God has for us, I tell you, the number one thing I think that would throw me off and probably throw you off is a heavy dose of fear. You know, God, you want me to do what? If I do that, then this is going to happen. You ever see how fear makes us be able to tell the future a lot better than we can when we're not afraid? You know, if I ask you what's going to happen if you do something, you go, I don't know. But when you're afraid of something, you know exactly what's going to happen, and you don't mind telling God. Well, what if this happens? Fear. It throws us out of alignment. It makes us stop when we're not supposed to stop. It makes us run when we're not supposed to run. It makes us miss the plans that God has for us. And here Paul started battling that fear, and God said, do not be afraid, because I've got a lot of people in this city. And if you get thrown out of alignment because of your fear, it's not just going to affect you. There's going to be effect across the people I need you to speak to. So how do we handle fear? Just from this passage, I want to point out three things of how we need to handle when we have fear showing up in our lives. The first thing I want to tell you is kind of the overarching thought, and then I'm going to give you three things that go along with that overarching thought. And the overarching thought I want you to hear this morning is that focus feeds your fear. Focus feeds your fear. Okay, that's alliteration, folks. That means I went to seminary, okay? I can get three letters, I'll go in there. Focus feeds fear. When you are afraid of something, what's going to cause your fear to either grow or to die is what you choose to focus on. What do you choose to focus on? When something is in your path that you see suddenly the red flags start coming up where you have fear growing in yourself, what do you start focusing on? If you're like me, I start focusing on the situation. I start focusing on the what ifs. I start focusing on what's going to happen. I start focusing on what I'm afraid of. And when I start focusing on that, my fear just goes, that's a all-you-can-eat buffet. Pull up a chair, give me a fork, and watch my fear grow. Your focus feeds your fear. So, as a Christian, what I have to do is I've got to say, well, if I'm not supposed to focus on the situation, what am I supposed to focus on? So I want to give you three things that you need to focus on as you walk through fearful situations. Number one, you need to focus in on your foundation and your future. I'm still on the F's, people, right there. On your foundation and your future. Let me show you in the scripture here, because I love this part right here. Verse number 9. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. These are stories that Luke has collected. stories where Paul said, this is what happened right here, Luke. You know, we saw a couple weeks ago that Luke kind of jumped in, and Luke was kind of giving his personal ideas of what was going on. But everything else, you know, he's collecting stories. And when Paul told Luke this story, this is what he said. He said, one night the Lord spoke to me. Listen, when we have a fear, the first thing we need to focus on is who is the Lord of our life. Who's the Lord? Paul said, it wasn't an angel that came to me. It wasn't, you know, what I say would say God came to me. He said, the Lord came to me. It's this thought, the song that Chris sang earlier, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Paul said, I'm sleeping there, I open my eyes, and he said, I stand amazed in the presence of the Lord. The first thing he focused on, or first thing that God kind of, I think, brought to him was, say, who's your Lord, Paul? Who's your Lord? What is the foundation of your faith? Why don't, instead of focusing on the situation, pull back just a little bit and say, I am a saved child of God. What we said last week, preach the gospel to yourself. What does that mean that you are a saved child of God? Here's what Paul said in Philippians 1:21. Paul said this. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, here's what I know about the gospel. He said, when I see Christ, I go, that's it. I'm going to focus on, if I'm going to live, if I'm going to go through whatever this fearful situation is, to live is Christ. And he said, I'm not going to look at the situation yet. I'm going to look at my Savior. I'm going to look what God did for me. And not only am I going to look at that foundation of what the gospel does for me, but I'm going to look at the future, right? And we've talked about this before. This life is temporary. Whatever you're afraid of is temporary compared to the eternity you have in Christ Jesus. But when we're in the middle of the fearful situation where we're going, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through whatever this doctor says to me next. I don't know how I'm going to get through what is happening in my kid's life. I don't know how I'm going to get through losing my job. All our focus goes to the situation. And what I'm telling you is, before you focus on the situation, pull back, focus in on the Savior, and focus in on the future of where we're going, which is an eternity with Christ Jesus. And let that be your perspective to start off on what you're fearful of. Well, you know, Blake, okay, I can do that. I can pull back and I can look and I can focus in on those two things. But I still got to get through the fearful situation, right? How do I get through the fearful situation once I go to live as Christ? And what's the worst thing they can do to me in this situation? To die is gain. They could kill me, right? But when they kill me, woohoo, I get to go to heaven. Okay, you know, so whichever it is, to live as Christ, to die is gain. Once I get through that, how do I actually walk through the next part of it? And the next thing I want you to see is, not only should you focus on your foundation and your future, but you need to focus on the Holy Spirit inside you. Let me show you where it kind of mentions this. You don't really see it, but I want you to think about it for a second. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid, but keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Do not be silent. He said, Paul, I need you to keep on doing what I've equipped you to do. If you go back to Acts chapter 4, when he told Paul, he told the guy that was going to lay hands on Paul, you know, what Paul was going to go out and speak. He was going to go out and share Christ. And so when they laid hands on Paul, they said, Paul, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to equip you to do what God has for you to do. I look back, and I don't know if Paul knew all the stories of the disciples. He'd hung out with the disciples a lot. But in my mind, it brings me back to Matthew chapter 10, when God sends out, Jesus sends out the disciples, he said, go by twos. He said, don't even go back and get an extra tunic. You know, just go. And he said, you're going to get abused. You're going to get brought in front of leaders. But don't worry what to say. Because when you're in that point, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to give you what you need to say. And when God says here in this vision, don't be afraid, just keep on speaking. Keep on doing that which I've equipped you to do. It's the Holy Spirit that equips us. I want to give you just this one phrase. I can do anything God wants me to do. Do y'all believe that? You can do anything God wants you to do. But you say, Blake, I'm not prepared for this. I can't do it on my own. You are exactly right. You can't. But luckily, God sent his Holy Spirit to equip you to do exactly what you need to do. If you focus on what you can do, there goes the fear. But what if we focused on what God could do through the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting that equipper help us? Let's just say this. I can do anything God wants me to do. Can y'all say that out loud? Can you hear yourself say that? Say it. Say, I can do anything God wants me to do. Now, I want you to think of a fearful situation in your life right now. Something you're afraid of. Something that's coming up. Something that someone else is doing. I want you to think of a fearful situation. And now I want you to say, I can do anything God wants me to do. Let's say it. I can do anything God wants me to do. You see, in your fearful situation, don't focus on you. Focus on God. In Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. In verse 17, for he dwells with you. You know, the next time you're in a fearful situation, how about do this? How about go and Google the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Just verses. You know, don't get off on the crazy stuff that people say. Go to the Bible and just say verses about the Holy Spirit and read about what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in our lives and focus in on that. You know, I mean, we're going through Acts. What did Jesus tell the disciples to do? He said, you're going to go out and you're going to tell people in Jerusalem and Judea and throughout the rest of the world. But before you do that, he said, wait here, right? Wait here. Because the Holy Spirit's going to come and give you the power to get through what you need to get through. When you're in a fearful situation, instead of focusing on the situation, focus on what God has equipped you to do. You can do it. You can get through any fearful situation with the helper that God has given you. And number three. So number one is focus on our foundation, our future. Focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Finally, focus on your Father's hand. Focus on your Father's hand. I mean, right here it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you. For I am with you. God said, I'm here. I am with you. Take my hand. You're not alone walking through this. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. I come back to that story I've heard so many times by pastors where about the little boy. Y'all remember this story where the little boy's in his room and he's so scared and his dad comes in and prays with him because he's scared of the dark. And he said, son, I want you to remember that God is here with you. He's with you right here in this room. And then he leaves and closes the door. And pretty soon he hears the little boy crying and screaming again. And he comes back in and he said, didn't you think about the fact that God is with you? He said, yeah, he said, I can think about that. But right now, I just need somebody with some skin on. And that joke makes me laugh because it's true in my life. This kind of thought that God's with me is nice. It's kind of nice. But it's not enough for me sometimes. Sometimes I just go, man, I want somebody with some skin on, because when there's someone with some skin on, then I don't doubt that there's somebody there with me. But sometimes with God, unfortunately, there's just this part of me that starts doubting. This doubt comes on me. I'm in a fearful situation, God, and you are not here right now. Where are you, God? Why do I think that? I'll tell you why I think it. It's because in my mind, if God was there, he would get me out of there. If God was there, you can tell me God's here with me, Blake, but why am I still in this situation? Wouldn't God take me out of this situation? Wouldn't he take me out? Why would he leave? Why would he want me to go through a fearful thing? And what I want you to hear right now is sometimes God wants you to go through fearful things. Doesn't mean he's not there. When you're doing it, you've got to focus in that even though I'm walking through it, even though I don't want to, that doesn't mean that the Father doesn't have my hand. He says, I am with you. Just real quick, what's your favorite Bible story as a kid? Can anybody throw out as a kid? When you were in Sunday school and you had the flannel board up and the teachers were throwing those flannel pictures up on there or telling you, what was your favorite? Anybody want to throw out a favorite story? What was your favorite story? Daniel in the lion's den? Love Daniel in the lion's den. That's an awesome story. Anybody else? What was your favorite story as a kid? David and Goliath. And, they don't really talk about him cutting his head off, thank goodness. It was just more of a hitting him with a stone and he passed out. That's much more politically correct for children. Any other stories? Oh, yeah, don't even get me started on that. We paint that on the walls of our nursery, right? But we don't paint the millions of floating dead Egyptians. No, we don't. Never mind. When Egyptians, just all the evil people in the time. These are great stories. Daniel and the lions, just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You had all these great stories. Do you see something in each one of these stories? Does anybody see a connecting thing? They're fearful, right? They're fearful situations, standing in front of a giant, being thrown in a lion's den, a worldwide flood where I'm trusting this boat. They were fearful situations after fearful situations after fearful situations. Do you know that God sometimes wants us to go through fearful situations? If not, we've got to throw this Bible out, because it's all about God's people going through fearful situations. You know what I love about being a kid, though? Is I would leave on Sunday morning after hearing about one of these dramatic, fearful situations, and I would come out going, my God can do anything. My God can defeat a giant. My God can defeat a lion. My God can take a fiery furnace and I can get in there and it's air conditioned and he's hanging out with me in the fire. My God can do anything. Why does God have us walk through fearful situations? Because he wants us to know him better. And he wants you to know that in that fearful situation, he can get you through that. And if we don't go through him, we'll never know. And sometimes it's just what's on the other side of that fearful situation. I love the 23rd Psalm. There's something about it over the last couple of years. I moved it from a funeral psalm to almost a life psalm, where I just look at that thing. And this beautiful picture of God is my shepherd. And we love those first few verses of it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Man, that's what a shepherd should do. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, I love a shepherd like that. But when we get to the end of that chapter, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And listen to how he describes God being with him. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, what are, rod and staff, that's still shepherd language. That's still leading language. I'm leading my sheep with my staff and with that thing with the crook on it, right? You know, I'm a shepherd. You know, when we think of God as a shepherd, we want to say, a shepherd's going to take me to a nice, easy, quiet place. But listen, that psalm says that sometimes the shepherds say, we're going through a fearful place. And it's quite possibly because there's something on the other side of that fearful place that as the shepherd, I know you need to get through, but I know that you won't go through that valley by yourself. You won't do it. In fact, you know, if I just said, how many of y'all are up for doing a trip with me? Let's go see, that Noah's Ark thing they built up in Kentucky. You know, let's go to Branson. Hey, how many of y'all want to go through the valley of the shadow of death with me? Anybody want to go through? You know, we go, well, no, Blake, you know, we don't want to go through. That's not something you choose to do. Even though it's something that's going to help you, and it might get you to where you need to be. But sometimes God says, we're going through there. And you're going to have to hold my hand. And it may not even be a quick thing. You know, that psalm says, in the middle of that, in the middle of all my enemies, God says, let's sit down and have dinner. Let me prepare a table for you right here in the middle of it. And just you and me hang out in the middle of it. And sometimes you're going through something fearful and you go, God, why don't we just get through it quick? And God said, no, we're going to sit down here for a minute. But you can do it if you don't focus on the enemies, but you focus on the table and the intimacy time you're having with your Father. What a powerful God. So those are the three things. Right now, as you are going through fearful times, focus on your foundation and your future. Focus on being filled with the Spirit. God, you've got what you need. You've got it. God's prepared you for this. And focus on your Father's hand, that he's leading you through it. He's not just letting you go through it, but he's leading you through. There's an interesting verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, where Peter and I think it was one of the other disciples. I think it was John. I'm going to look at it in a minute. Peter and John, they're doing incredible things. and all of a sudden, the crowd looks at them. And they said, when they saw the boldness of these uneducated men, what a difference it made to them. When they saw the boldness, when they saw that they weren't afraid, what a difference it made to these people who didn't know Jesus. And as I look at how he ended this, he said, for I am with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in this city that need to see a bold, fearless child of God in a fearful situation. That's what they need to see. And when they said that of the disciples, these are unlearned men, but look at the boldness of them. And I think about our church. I think about the church in America. We're kind of the opposite of that, right? We're not uneducated, we're overeducated. But we're overeducated, but instead of being bold, we're fearful. And the world looks at us going, what's the difference? They get in a fearful situation and they act just like me. Listen, God's got many people in this city who need to see children of God walking through fearful situations, but instead of focusing on the situation and feeding the fear, focusing in on the gospel, focusing in on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and focusing in on a Father that loves them as they walk through those situations. And they'll go, how are they so bold? How are they so bold? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just as we kind of chew through these thoughts, God, I just want to just thank you that you are with us. God, you never leave us or forsake us. God, in the middle of a fire, you're there. God, in the middle of a flood, you're there. God, in the middle of a hurt marriage, you're there. God, in the middle of losing a job, you're there. And God, as we walk through situations, listen, whether the doctor comes back and says, the cancer's gone, or if the doctor comes back and says, I have 1 month to live. God, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Teach me not to fear that. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I'll be down front. If anybody needs prayer this morning, if you want to hear more about how to ask Jesus into your heart, I'm just going to be down here as the band plays.